Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, November 19th, 2024. And we'll start with the front page of the commercial news. The first story today is titled, The Dance of a Lifetime. Schlarman High School dancers to perform in Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And this is by Kayla White. This Thanksgiving, a few local high school students will have the chance of a lifetime to dance together in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City. Schlarman High School sophomore Reagan Trolia, freshman Harper O'Brien, and senior Evelyn, or Evie, Kelsey have been friends since they were young, they said, and they love dancing together. When they learned about the opportunity to perform together in the parade as part of the Spirit of America group, they sent in an audition tape. My neighbor went in 2021, and she told us if we sent our audition tape, she would help us with the registration paperwork, Charlia said. A few weeks later, the girls received a text message informing them they'd been chosen to participate, just three of more than 1,000 high school dancers who will be performing in the parade along with 1,000 cheerleaders. The girls received customized red jackets emblazoned with their first names to commemorate their participation in the group. We will walk with the parade, and then we'll stop and perform at different points throughout it, Kelsey said. And then we also get to perform for NBC in a live rehearsal, and they video us. The girls will travel with their mothers and siblings this Saturday and stay until the following Friday. Throughout the week, they will practice with other performers, but also take part in planned opportunities to explore New York City, including meeting the Rockettes and watching Hell's Kitchen on Broadway. Each of them is looking forward to the experience for different reasons. I'm really excited because I've always only seen it on television, and I actually get to do it, especially with them because I've known them for so long, O'Brien said of performing with her friends. It's just really exciting for me. Choclia is looking forward to visiting New York City during the holidays. They'll have the Rockefeller Christmas tree up. There's a Christmas village, and there's little Christmas shops everywhere, she said. Kelsey is most excited for the chance to dance with Troglia and O'Brien and to take the trip with her family members. They're two of my best friends, Kelsey said. And then it'll just be so much fun because my whole family's going out there too for it, so it'll just be a really fun week. NBC will broadcast the parade from 8:30 a.m. to noon, Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 28th. Viewers can also watch the performance on Peacock, NBC's streaming service. Next up from the front page, we have a story titled, Bring Them Home. Perrysville Road Fire Survivors Ask for Community Assistance. And this story is by Kayla White. After a fire destroyed their home on Perrysville Road in Danville in early November, claiming the lives of at least five of their cats, Melody and John Williams are asking for help from the community to locate a few others who may have escaped. Though they lost everything in the fire, which took 20 different fire trucks from the Lynch, Bismarck, Westville, Perrysville, Tilton, Catlin, Georgetown, Cayuga, and Carroll Fire Protection Districts, more than 12 hours to extinguish, their primary concern now is finding their missing cats. When John smelled smoke on the morning of Sunday, November 4th, he ran out to see what was wrong, he said. I got up Sunday morning, took a shower, and got ready to go to church, and I was sitting in a recliner, watching the news. I looked out the window, and I saw white. At first, I thought it was rain, Jim said. I opened the door, and I could smell smoke. Williams said he walked around the side of the house to the barn where he saw their camper up in flames. The whole thing was on fire. We had high winds that morning coming out of the east, so the fire was going towards the barn, Williams said. He worried the fire would spread from the camper to the barn and then to the house. Sure enough, that's what it did. So I ran back into the house, screaming to everyone to get out. "Everything's gone," Melody said, "but we all got out alive. Melody and their adult son, Jason, escaped the fire in their pajamas, Jason barefoot. Quinn Hazelbaker, a longtime family friend who was staying with the family while she dealt with some medical issues, also escaped without injury. Hazelbaker, who rescues and rehomes stray cats, says she scrambled to grab as many cats as she could as she was running out of the house. We had a mama and three babies in a cage in the heated barn, so I yelled at John to go get the cats. I grabbed these two babies, and then I got my hands on two more, but their cat, Theon, got out of my hands before I could get him in a crate," Hazelbaker said. "One additional cat survived the fire because a fireman tossed him in a metal shed on the property, saving his life," they said. In the days after the fire, the family stayed in a hotel provided by the Red Cross. They had nothing but the smoky, dirty clothes on their back, so they were grateful to receive clothing and other necessities from family and friends, including a large donation collected by the staff at Danville Public Library, where Williams works part-time in the reference department. "We're overwhelmed with the generosity and response of the church and our family, of the community and strangers, and my co-workers at the library," Melody said, as tears began falling down her cheeks. "It was what I call sacrificial donations. My co-workers dug deep in their pockets." For now, the group and Hazelbaker's two surviving cats are staying in an extended stay motel provided by their insurance company until at least January 1st of 2025. They aren't sure what the future holds after that. "There is no plan. We're going day by day," Melody said. She and her husband, both 71 years old, have been married for 50 years, and John recently retired. "At a time when we should be enjoying retirement, you know, we're starting again," she said. "But God is with us, and we're able to carry on with the help of family and friends and all that. Our cats are missing. That's why I wanted to get the word out. That's the most important thing to me," Hazelbaker said. "We really want our cats found." Over the weekend, the family was able to locate the body of one of the missing cats in the wreckage. Theon, a white cat with a light brown tail and spots, Lion, a yellow cat, and Angel, a black and white long-haired cat, are all still missing. Anyone with information on the missing pets is encouraged to reach out to Hazelbaker at 217-474-4263. And our final front page item today is titled "Giving the Gift of Compassion on Giving Tuesday. Local orgs asking for donations to help the homeless." And this story is also by Kayla White. "'Tis the season for giving, and none are so much in need as those without safe, warm homes to sleep in. That's why two local organizations, The Dwelling Place and Crosspoint Human Services, are working hard to fill the gap for the homeless this year as the Danville Rescue Mission continues work towards its plan to open the shelters as soon as possible. The Dwelling Place began in 2017 when five board members with a passion for helping the homeless came together to assist those in need in Vermilion County, according to board member Cheryl Clapp. "There are three areas that we focus on," Clapp said. "We have the essential hygiene pantry, which serves hygiene products to the homeless and schools in our area. Then we have the Dwelling Place Day Center, which is open on Mondays and Fridays. The day center provides people in need a place to rest and refresh. Visitors have access to showers and laundry facilities. Just because you're homeless does not mean that you don't want to take care of yourselves. You know, your personal hygiene, your clothing," said Tamara Forthamberry, a member of the board. "So with this kind of support, there, we're actually able to provide those needs to those that are actually in need of them. The organization also serves hot lunches on Mondays and Fridays and provides takeaway sack lunches on Tuesday through Thursday to those in need. Lastly, the organization owns 3 homes for housing homeless families. 2, Emmanuel House and Bethlehem House, that are in working order, and a 3rd is under renovation. Those in need first must pass an application process before taking up residence in one of the homes. The goal of these homes is to provide those in need with a temporary safe space to rebuild their lives, as well as providing some basic essentials. Our shelters are designed to house families, to keep them, to help them become self-sufficient, Forthenberry said, to help them save money, to move themselves up so that they're able to become self-sufficient. The help doesn't end there. Once residents are established and able to move out on their own, the organization helps them to look for housing and employment, Forthenberry said. The shelters are intended for families, she said, but the organization recognizes the different makeup of families. Crosspoint Human Services Domestic Violence Shelter provides a safe haven for women and children who are escaping domestic violence. Survivors are given comprehensive and supportive services for women and their minor children who are experiencing homelessness for up to 1 year, according to the organization's website. Both of these organizations depend on donations and assistance from the community to keep running. We are not able to actually purchase these things, so donations are what we can contribute back to those that are in need, Forthenberry said. In October, the Vermilion County State's Attorney's Office hosted its 7th annual Domestic Violence Awareness Month supply drive. Items were collected to benefit both Crosspoint Domestic Violence Shelter and The Dwelling Place. Donation boxes were hosted by community partners, 112 Wine and Coffee Shop in Hubston and Mad Goat Coffee in Danville. New to the supply drive this year were partnerships with Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin Cooperative High School, Georgetown Ridge Farm High School, and Salt Fork High School. The state's attorney's office had the opportunity to collect donations at football games of the participating schools. Notable donations were also collected by the Hubston Area Women Making a Difference organization, Maple Grade School in Hubston, and employees of Heister Yale Group in Danville. Items collected this year included personal care items, cleaning supplies, and non-perishable food items. Donations were delivered to Crosspoint Domestic Violence Shelter and The Dwelling Place on November 6th. The generosity of our community this year has been inspiring. We are grateful to everyone who donated and helped raise awareness about the critical issue of domestic violence, State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey said. Each year, domestic violence affects many families, often leaving victims homeless. Crosspoint Domestic Violence Shelter and The Dwelling Place play a vital role in offering safe spaces in order for victims to break away from abuse, Lacey said. As people head to shopping centers and online to start their holiday shopping on Black Friday and Cyber Monday, community members have another opportunity to give on Giving Tuesday, Tuesday, December 3rd. Giving Tuesday is an international day of giving. There is even a global generosity movement of the same name, one that aims to encourage radical generosity, the idea that the suffering of others should be as intolerable to us as to our own suffering, according to the group's website. Those interested in supporting The Dwelling Place can donate at www.zeffy.com/fundraising/givingtuesday-3. Those who wish to support Crosspoint's domestic violence shelter may donate at their website, crosspointhumanservices.org. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for November 19th. And the first today is for Robert Crabb. Robert Bob Crabb of Westfield, Indiana, formerly of Danville, Illinois, passed away on November 11th, 2024, at the age of 93. A memorial service will be held at First Presbyterian Church at 100 North Franklin Street in Danville on November 23rd, 2024 at 1 p.m. A visitation will follow the service. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to First Presbyterian Church. Beverly Claudel. Beverly Sue Claudel, 75, of Covington, and formerly of Danville, went home to be with the Lord unexpectedly on November 16th, 2024, at the Waters of Covington, surrounded by her loving family. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, November 20th, at Kruger Funeral Home, 10 East William Street in Danville. Services will be on Thursday, November 21st, at 10 a.m. at Kruger Funeral Home, with burial following in Songer Cemetery of Tilton. George M. Milner. George M. Milner, 86, of Danville, died at 5:15 a.m. on Friday, November 15th, 2024, at OSF Hospital in Danville, Illinois. A celebration of life for George will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday, November 20th, at the First Presbyterian Church at 100 North Franklin Street in Danville, Illinois. Burial with military honors will follow at Danville National Cemetery at 12 p.m. Visitation will be held from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, November 19th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville, and again at 9:30 a.m. until the time of services at the church on Wednesday, November 20th. Memorials may be made to the First Presbyterian Church of Danville, Illinois, or to the charity of the donor's choice. Stephen Doggett. Stephen B. Doggett, 74, of Danville, formerly of Westville, died at 10:51 EST, Sunday, November 17th, in Greenwood, Indiana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services and Crematory, 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. And that's the end of the obituaries for this Tuesday. We're going to turn now to the News Gazette for a couple of stories related to Vermilion County. And the first is titled, Board Members Questioning Work Status of Superintendent. And this is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. An item on Wednesday's Danville School Board meeting agenda asks for a public discussion of the superintendent's status. As in, why has Alicia Geddes spent going on 2 months working from somewhere other than her office at the David L. Fields Administrative Service Center, as board members have heard? I, along with other board members, are getting many, many questions from the public, and we don't have answers, said Darlene Holleran, who joined Kim Corley in requesting the agenda item. Reached Monday by the News Gazette, Danville's 10th-year superintendent said she has been the subject of multiple threats, which she said other administrators have witnessed. There have also been recent threats against the school district, she briefly mentioned during a board meeting last month. The FBI is investigating the threats toward her, Geddes said. Geddes on Monday would not confirm if she's been out of the office, when she last worked from the administration building, or where she's been. At Danville's October 23rd school board meeting, Geddes said she hasn't been absent from her job and still answers all phone calls and emails. Danville Police Chief Chris Yates told the News Gazette that his department's investigation into threats Geddes believes were made to her safety was very thorough. Yates said he also asked the FBI's Champaign office to review Danville PD's work. According to an October 7th memo from Yates to Police Command, obtained by the News Gazette via open records request, Geddes told the police chief that she was leaving her Danville residence until the matter was resolved and the FBI had concluded its investigation. The FBI expressed to Yates that it didn't advise Geddes to leave her residence. It was her own choice, according to the police chief. Then, in an October 22nd memo to Police Command, Yates expressed Geddes' request that the police officer assigned to the school board meeting follow her home afterward. Yates said the FBI advised him that it didn't receive any information that would indicate Geddes is in danger, but the agency was continuing to look into her complaint. The FBI was to let Danville police know if there were any changes. The Bureau could not be reached for comment on Monday. A police memo dated October 23rd stated that Danville police had completed their investigation of a disorderly conduct complaint Geddes filed regarding a former student. In the memo, Danville Deputy Chief Terry McCord wrote that there was no reasonable suspicion to believe that the former student had been following, stalking, harassing, or in the same area as Dr. Geddes. School board members just want some answers, Halloran said. Board members had asked Geddes not to attend a special meeting on November 6th to discuss the police report and her extended absence from her office in the administration building. Geddes has been Danville's superintendent since 2015. Her current contract runs through the 2025-2026 school year. And next, we have another story by Jennifer Bailey titled Mayor's Mom, Outgoing President Running for DACC Board Seats. Danville. The wife of Danville Area Community College's outgoing president has decided not to run for a seat on the city council after all. But Laura Williams, mother of Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr., has filed to run for a seat on DACC's Board of Trustees, along with retiring president Stephen Nacko. Nacko is leaving his position on December 13th after being placed on administrative leave due to an immigration-related dispute with Danville's mayor. The controversy led Nacko's wife, Cindy, to consider a run for the council herself. Monday was the final day for election filings for the council, village board, and school board seats to be decided by voters in the April 2025 election. Write-in candidates also have time to file. Voters in April will elect 7 Danville aldermen with races for the seats in Wards 1, 3, and 7. Filing with the Danville Election Commission for council seats were incumbent Robert Williams and Jaleel M. Jones in Ward 1, incumbent Carolyn Wands in Ward 2, incumbent Heidi Wilson and Thomas Hightower in Ward 3, incumbent Tricia Teague in Ward 4, incumbent Mike Purer in Ward 5, incumbent Jim Pichard in Ward 6, and newcomers Doug Ahrens and Barry Johnson in Ward 7. Incumbent Alderman Darren York is moving out of Ward 7 and not seeking re-election. DACC will elect 3 trustees in April. 2 are for 6-year appointments, currently held by Greg Wolf, who is running, and Tracy Cherry, who is not. The other, a 4-year seat, was vacated by the resignation of Board Chair Dave Harvey. Carolyn Harvey, Dave's daughter-in-law, is the only candidate who filed to fill that term. Filing to run for DACC's other 2 seats were Wolf, Stephen Nacko, and newcomers Lisa Martin, Aaron Biggs, Laura Williams, and Amanda Crabb. DACC Vice President of Operations and Secretary to the Board, Carrie Thurman, also reports that three people, who she didn't name, have expressed interest in Harvey's term until the April election. The Board will vote to fill the seat up to the election. Four four-year terms are up for election on the Danville School Board. The seats now held by President Randall Ashton, Tyson Parks, and Shannon Schroeder, who didn't file, and Darlene Halloran, who did. Also filing is former board member Christopher Easton and Tony Kimberlin Town. And returning to the local pages of the commercial news, we have a staff report titled Light Up Danville This Holiday Season. Do you have a talent for decking out your home like Martha May Hoover? If your outdoor decor shines with holiday cheer, the City of Danville wants to see it. The community is invited to enter the 4th Annual Light Up Danville Outdoor Decorating Contest for a chance to win up to a $200 Lowe's gift card and spread some festive spirit in the community. Whether your decorations are simple yet elegant, playful and fun, or bold and extravagant, we want to see how your home lights up the season. From classic to quirky, your creativity could help brighten someone's holiday and make Danville the most festive town around, a news release states. To enter, residents should decorate the exterior of their home and then submit an entry by December 3rd at the mayor's office. Once entries are in, a map will be created of the homes for others to enjoy. The tour will be available on the city website and social media accounts. Voting will begin December 5th on the City of Danville website. One vote per household is permitted. Prizes will be awarded to City Selection, chosen by Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. and City team members, and the People's Choice, voted by residents. Prizes will be awarded in each category. First place will receive a $200 Lowe's gift card, an engraved traveling holiday trophy to proudly display until next season, and the honor of being the Grand Marshal of the 2024 Night of Lights Parade. Second place will receive a $100 Lowe's gift card, and third place will be given a $50 Lowe's gift card. And also from the community briefs, we have Festival Chorus to present concert. The Vermilion Festival Chorus will present Gettin' in the Mood for Christmas, a concert of traditional carols with some swing thrown in for fun. The concert begins at 3 p.m. Saturday, November 23rd, at St. James United Methodist Church at 504 North Vermilion Street. Admission is free, donations will be accepted, and half will be given to the St. James Food Pantry. The concert is sponsored in part by the Julius W. Hegler II Foundation. And in celebration of National Novel Writing Month, Danville Public Library is hosting a Writers Club every Saturday in November. Meet the Starbucks bookstore meet in the Starbucks bookstore from 10 to 11 a.m. for coffee, chats, networking, and more. Those interested in a breakout group can then work from until 1 p.m. The first 10 participants will receive a complimentary writing journal. And finally, Brad Cash, Lions District 1M Cabinet Secretary, will speak to the Danville Lions Club at 6 p.m. Thursday, November 21st. The Lions Club meets at Spanky's Banquet Hall at 409 East Main Street. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, November 19th, 2024. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.